Welcome to CHOATS Enforcement and Investigations Updates, a podcast series hosted by our Government Enforcement and Compliance Group. On this show, we discuss timely analysis of legal and compliance developments, court decisions, and changes in legislation and regulations related to white-collar defense, global investigations, and whistleblower claims.
Hello and welcome to all of our listeners. I'm Kristen Perriello, a principal in the Government Enforcement Group here at CHOATE. With me today is Adam Bookbinder, the co-chair of our Government Enforcement Group. As many of you are likely aware, last month the Supreme Court issued a significant decision in the SEC versus Jarkissi case, which was one of several blows to the power of federal agencies during the Supreme Court's last term. We're going to talk about the impact that this decision may have, not just on SEC enforcement actions going forward, but also on enforcement efforts by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the FDA, and other federal agencies.
First off, we should note that for the past 10 or more years, since the passage of the Dodd-Frank Act, the SEC has had the option to pursue enforcement actions in two forums. First, the traditional federal court system. Those cases, the jury acts as a fact finder, the judge presides, federal rules of evidence, and federal discovery practices govern. The other option is through an in-house administrative action, where an administrative law judge or ALJ presides. That ALJ finds facts, decides discovery disputes, and the SEC's rules of practice govern instead of the federal rules. Kristen, you want to talk a little bit about the implications of these different enforcement options and about the background of the Jarkissi case?
Yeah, so there are two very different paths here, as you just described. And the latter approach has raised some concerns by the defense bar regarding these differences, as well as the higher success rate by the SEC. And in fact, some research has shown that while the SEC won approximately 69% of the cases it litigated in federal court, it won a whopping 90% of its administrative enforcement actions. So just to spend a minute on the factual background here for those who are unfamiliar with the case. So in 2011, the SEC initiated an investigation into George Jarkissi and his investment fund, Patriot 28. The SEC alleged that the defendants had misled investors in a couple of different ways, including misrepresenting investment strategies, lying about the identity of the fund's auditor and prime broker, inflating the fund's claimed value in order to collect larger management fees. In 2013, the SEC opted to pursue the matter using its in-house ALJ process, alleging that the defendants had violated the anti-fraud provisions of federal securities laws. The SEC sought civil penalties and other remedies, and the ALJ determined that the defendants had in fact committed fraud and levied $300,000 in civil penalties. The defendants appealed to the Fifth Circuit, which vacated the order on the grounds that adjudicating the matter using the ALJ process violated their Seventh Amendment right to a jury trial. The Supreme Court affirmed the Fifth Circuit decision, holding that a defendant is entitled to a jury trial under the Seventh Amendment when the SEC seeks civil penalties for securities fraud. The court explained that the anti-fraud claims under securities laws were analogous to common law fraud claims, which must be heard by a jury, and that no public rights exception to this rule applied here.
It's also important to note that this was not a unanimous decision. The court split along the usual ideological lines, with Justices Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson dissenting. And that dissenting opinion quite forcefully focused on the potential far-reaching implications of the decision, asserting that the majority opinion had essentially taken a wrecking ball, as the dissent described it, to long-standing precedent that allowed cases to proceed outside of the federal courts through the administrative process. The dissent also pointed out that Congress had relied on this precedent and enacted many new statutes in the past 50 years, allowing federal agencies to impose civil penalties for statutory violations. And in many situations, there is no option to bring these cases in federal court. The dissent also pointed out that there are more than two dozen agencies that can impose these civil penalties in administrative proceedings, including the CFTC, the Department of Agriculture, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, the Department of Health and Human Services, OSHA, and a whole bunch more, all of which may be affected by this decision. So in light of that, Kristen, can you talk about some of the implications that this decision may have for those agencies and also for the SEC?
Sure. So in terms of key takeaways from the decision, first, it's important to note that the opinion does leave open a number of questions, including whether the Seventh Amendment would limit the ability of the SEC to bring administrative proceedings in non-fraud cases or cases that seek remedies other than monetary penalties, such as disgorgement. It seems possible that these types of proceedings would be affected as well, given the court's analysis and focus on whether the violations are analogous to common law claims, but it's not clear. Second, as the dissent noted, the decision does call into question whether other federal agencies can still bring in-house proceedings to enforce civil penalties. While this will, of course, likely vary based on the particular statutory language at issue, should the reasoning be extended to other agencies, it's likely to have a significant impact. And as you mentioned, Adam, this is particularly true for those agencies like OSHA or the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which do not have a mechanism for bringing actions in court. The decision will inevitably result in additional litigation where agencies and parties are disputing whether the claims sound in equity or in law, the aim of the punishment at issue, and whether a public rights exception applies. But this decision will likely impact even agencies that do have other mechanisms for bringing actions. Right, Adam?
Yeah, that is right. For example, HHS, Department of Health and Human Services, and its various sub-agencies such as CMS, FDA, OIG, can impose civil monetary penalties for a variety of infractions and do this in administrative proceedings that are similar to the ones that the SEC had that were at issue in this case. So in the life sciences and healthcare space, certainly I'd expect to see significant pushback in the civil monetary penalties context based on this decision. And companies who are facing these kinds of penalties should consider whether and how they want to use this jarcossy decision as part of their litigation and negotiation strategy. On the SEC front, while the agency has recently been bringing most of its actions in court, likely in anticipation of this decision, the case itself, the decision itself, may require the SEC to move essentially all of its enforcement actions to federal court. The problem here, or the challenge here for the government, is that cases brought in federal court tend to be much more expensive and time-consuming to litigate. And the SEC is held to a more stringent procedural standard. So it may have to be more selective about which cases it chooses to litigate. That's particularly true because, as you pointed out earlier, Kristen, the SEC's success rates were much higher in administrative actions than in federal court cases. It's also going to be interesting to see what happens with the administrative matters that are currently pending within the SEC, some of which are likely to have statutes of limitations issues in the federal courts. Is the SEC just going to walk away from those, or will it try to move them to the courts where possible? Given all of this, regulated companies really need to work with counsel to carefully consider the implications of the jarcossy decision on SEC enforcement actions and also enforcement actions by almost all other administrative agencies.
And with that, we want to thank you for joining us. We hope you found this podcast valuable.
The information presented in this recording is for educational purposes only. It does not constitute legal advice for a specific situation. If you wish to obtain legal advice, you should retain an attorney and explain the facts of your particular situation.